So, I'm so f***ed up. I don't know when this is gonna end. I have another 40 miles to ride. Like, what the f***?
This is the Bike Pack Racing Podcast with Ezra Ward Packard and Andrew Onnerma. Welcome back to the Bike Pack Racing Podcast. This is episode 10. I am once again flying solo in this episode. Andrew needed a little escape from reality after organizing, directing, hosting, whatever you want to call it, Gravel Doom over in Arkansas. Thankfully, month of May was popping for bike pack racing in Arizona, so I had another opportunity to talk to another badass rider about an Arizona event. Dexter Copas won the inaugural Ride Across Arizona in his first bikepacking race. I'm kind of noticing a trend here of absolute hitters just come out of the woodwork and crush on their first race. So please enjoy this conversation me and Dexter have. There are a few internet issues. I tried to do the best I can with editing, but I can only do so much. Enjoy. Dexter, how's it going today?
Fantastic.
Where are you speaking to us today?
So I am in Tucson. I'm at my girlfriend's apartment in her closet, and he used to be a journalist, so has like nice headphones and a nice little recording space in a closet that works pretty well.
Nice. Closet is always a great place to record a podcast. You'd be surprised the number of like high quality podcasts that were like recorded.
Oh yeah.
In closets. So I like it. So I guess my first question is like, what do you do in your everyday life? Like, you are not a full-time bike pack racer. We'll get into that later. What's the day job?
Yeah, so I am definitely not a full-time backpack racer. My day job is I work for a conservation nonprofit called Wild Arizona, and I've been working there since like late in 2020. And so I do field conservation work. So it's like a lot of fun work with my hands outside in like the wilderness. And it's wonderful. I love it. I get to do a lot of interesting things, trail work, like trail assessments, renaturalization, invasive species management, all kinds of different stuff. Yeah. And so I do that for 8 days on. So it's like 8 10-hour days long. And I kind of consider that like cross training time. It's like nice to just be outside camping or backpacking, you know, for that time. And so I'm like, most of my time is, you know, sleeping under the stars and getting to just like work in beautiful places in Arizona. Yeah. And then I get 6 days off. So yeah, every 2 week period is 8 days on, 6 days off. And so I get those 6 days to do whatever I want. So I get to like, you know, get in some long riding and a lot of time on the bike, but it's like very split up. Yeah. But yeah, they're, you know, they allow me to like take time off to do things like the Ride Across Arizona. So yeah, it's pretty good. If you're trying to be a bike packer, you know, having a hitch schedule is actually pretty nice. Sometimes I get to commute to work and I'll get like a couple hours of riding in even on those like 10-hour days.
Okay, nice. So generally like when you are on those 10 days, it's 10 days on, 8 days on, you said?
Or excuse me, 8 days, yeah.
Yep. When you're on those 8 days, is it like you're doing nothing except work? Like you are fully there, or do you have any sort of like any free time?
Yeah, so it's like pretty, I don't know, like hard on for those it's pretty, you know, just working for those 8 days. So like work from 7 to 5 or 6 to 4. And then just like, you know, the evening is pretty much, you know, you have like maybe an hour of free time, but other than that, you're like cooking and like getting ready for the next day. Yeah. I also, you know, I get time to usually like do yoga in the evening or ride my bike or like do some sort of thing relating to bike riding training. Yeah. Or just like going to walk. Yeah. It's nice that like I feel pretty like emotionally and like mentally satisfied by the work, so I'm not like at the end of the day I'm like, oh my god, I gotta like go and unwind and do all this. It's like, no, I love my job and I'm spending time with people I want to spend time with, being out in the woods building something, and so it's really fun. And so like, I don't know, at the end of the day I just like feel like, all right, now let's go and train hard for an hour or do whatever. And like, yeah, but pretty much, you know, I don't have a lot of free time. I'm not like going to, you know, some, I don't have many time for much other hobbies besides like hanging out with people, making food and like getting a little bit of training in.
Yeah. And then when you get to those 6 days, are you just like rearing to go during those 6 days? Or is it like that first 24 hours? You're like, I need to have a weekend, sleep in, relax, and then I can start doing something cool. Or is it like, how does that balance? Because I'm always like fascinated by that balance, right? Because I've like structured my life working in a controlled environment in REI where I feel like I can go work an 8 hour day and then I'm good to go, right? Where in the past I worked landscaping for my parents and that was awful because I would work landscaping for 8 hours. And I was, when I was a teenager, I could like get on the bike and actually like ride. But the older I got, I was just worked. I like understood like why my dad would come home and, you know, sit on the couch, right? Like once the sun went down, he was just like, he shut off. And I was like, okay, I need to find a job that is, you know, engaging enough. It's not an office job where I'm like sitting there ready to go crazy. But at the same time, it's also like not strenuous enough that I can like finish work, jump on the bike, go do that. And I've always been like terrified of these sorts of jobs where you're on for whatever, you know, a week, 2 weeks, and you don't have that free time. Because for me, it's like, it has to be consistent. So what does that like 6 day period look like? Are you like out doing trips or sitting at home for a few days and then making a comeback and riding a bunch? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so it really depends because, yeah, I think a lot of it depends on, like, what I'm doing for that hitch, for that eight-day period of work. So it could be anything from, like, backpacking and I'm, like, rationing food and, like, exhausted at the end of the day. Or sometimes it's a bit more cushy and, like, yeah, like, have a lot more energy coming out of it. But also, like, I think, you know, like, I did landscaping before when I, right after college in 2018, I was doing that in Seattle, which is where I grew up. Okay. And that was... I definitely felt at the end of the day, like, okay, I am cooked and I need to like sleep. Although, you know, I would like commute on my bike, but like sometimes I'll just be like totally exhausted. And I think a lot of it is just like what the job is, you know, more precisely like who you're working for, like how much do they emphasize sustainability of your body and like your emotional state. And Yeah, so the people I work for, they're like very much like, we want to keep these people employed for a long time and like make this doable and not like break people.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know what your landscaping experience was, but like I've had those kind of jobs where like they don't really care about your, I don't know, long-term health.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like, you know, there's breaks throughout the day. Like I'm not like fully cooked by the end of the day, but it's like sometimes I am, but like, yeah, a lot of it. And also, I don't know, I feel like I'm pretty lucky. Like I have a lot of energy, like pretty just normally. And like, yeah, mostly at the end of the day, I'm just like, you know, excited, you know, to like be on my bike and like be by myself. And it's like, I look forward to that moment of, you know, especially if I'm like doing chainsawing or something, it's like noise and just like running a chainsaw is not terribly fun, I think.
I have a terrible chainsaw story that I won't indulge you in.
Oh, well, at least you're still here. Yeah, they're loud and annoying and dangerous. And like, I'm just like looking forward to just like, ah, oh, I'm just going to sit on my bike and it's going to be peaceful. You know, maybe I'm like working near the public and there's like people making snarky comments. And I'm like, all right, I'm just like looking forward to being on my bike and just like riding around. And I don't know, like I try to keep it as always being excited to ride my bike no matter what and like never overdo myself in that regard. But yeah, I don't know. And it's, you know, back to the 6 days off, like often there's like one day at the beginning, like, you know, I get off on Wednesday and then Wednesday and then most of Thursday, I'm just like relaxing. But like sometimes I feel, you know, raring to go. Like, you know, I got off work and got back here to Tucson like midday yesterday, Wednesday, and now it's Thursday and I got up at 4 o'clock and rode my bike for a few hours. And nice. Like, yeah. And you know, that was wonderful and felt really good. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I want to sit down for a while and do nothing. Yeah. It really depends. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I'm just so raring to ride my bike over those 8 days that like my big ride will be, you know, on the Thursday, just the next day. Cause I'm just like so itching to go and ride.
Nice. Nice. So where, let's go way back. You said you are from Seattle. Is that where you grew up?
Yeah.
Nice. So what was that sort of like childhood athletic beginnings look like? Did you play another sport when you were a kid, or what did that look like?
Yeah, so I've always been into doing physical activity and being outdoors, and that's always been my jam. So yeah, I grew up in Seattle. I played like soccer for a while. I didn't really love that. I always wanted to play football. That was what I was really into. Finally got to do that. 8th grade, played that through high school. But also wrestling and track, but mostly it was focused on football. And like, yeah, I was was very into it. Never very good at it, fortunately. So like, I came out of it without too much brain damage. Yeah, I think I learned a lot of lessons of that through that of just like, I don't know, being focusing on conditioning and like taking care of your body. Like, we had a really good physical trainer with the team, and like taught a lot of like, you know, stretching and how to like do lots of activities properly and how to take care of yourself. And yeah, I've also just like, you know, fighting through pain, learned some good lessons through that. Yeah, and then yeah, I didn't really start riding my bike until college, where it was kind of my kind of like my outlet in a lot of times. I went to a very small school. I went to Beloit College in Wisconsin, right near where you grew up. And
So I have a question on that. How did you
yeah.
end up at Beloit College from Seattle? Because that's kind of a
It's
crazy
different.
place to end up, because I feel like lots of times I went to small liberal arts college in Minnesota and I had a lot of good friends from Seattle, but Beloit is almost like another level, where Beloit's like kind of in the middle of nowhere, like Chicago's kind of
Yeah.
there. Like it's I don't know a whole lot about Beloit College, but its reputation, in that area is it's like a tiny, tiny, pretty quirky liberal arts
This is
college.
accurate.
So how do you end up there?
Yeah, that's an accurate assessment. Yeah, remind me what college you went to that it was in Minnesota?
I went to Carleton College.
Right. Actually, I knew someone who went there. The year what you've heard about Beloit is correct. It's a small, quirky school, kind of in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's in this town of 30,000 people called Beloit. Yeah, I found out about it from going to a college fair, from the colleges that change lives. There's like a book about different like small liberal arts schools. There was a
Okay.
fair regarding that, of all those schools in Seattle. I went there. I talked to the guy from Beloit. Just seemed like a very genuine, cool person who wasn't trying to sell me anything. And so yeah, with that, I wanted to go somewhere where there was winter. I like snow. I want to go somewhere cold. I want to go somewhere far away from home. And like, I was kind of treating going to college as like my like free ticket to just go live somewhere else.
And
And I
so
was
you
like itching
chose
to get out of
Beloit,
Seattle.
Wisconsin. That's an interesting choice. That's an interesting choice.
I did not know anything about, you know, the Midwest. Yeah, I had like never been to that area. And so yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Rural, you know, I'm into rural. I like you know, I'd always like kind of felt like a rural person in a city, trapped in the city growing up. And yeah, I just wanted a small town somewhere else. I visited there and like just met a lot of awesome people. Like Beloit has a really awesome community. There's a lot of, I mean, you've probably experienced this also going to a small school, but like, I don't know. I just like that. You know, there's a lot of teachers for students. You know, you get like an like intimate relationship with them. Like, you know, I worked with my professors a ton and like got to do, you know, tons of stuff that I probably wouldn't have had access to, you know, unless I like really was gung ho about it, going to a larger school. Yeah. And just like Beloit is like a tiny school full of weirdos who all get along is like
That's the
pretty
liberal arts
accurate.
college experience for you. And really,
Yeah.
especially, I feel like, especially in the Midwest, when you are in these like tiny towns where, there's not like the whole idea of a lot to do, right? I'm always confused by that, where I feel like there's a ton to do in Flagstaff because there's just like so many trails and so many cool roads. That was one of the things that I had like an issue with in Northfield, Minnesota, where Carleton is. I was like, what am I
Right.
supposed to do? And what you end up doing is you end up just finding or creating stuff to do with your peers, because it's like, okay, it's February, we're not going anywhere. Let's just come up with some ridiculous game in our dorm rooms, in our hall, to just
Yeah.
entertain ourselves, right? Like
Yeah.
you make do with what's available. So, super
Yeah, I think
cool.
you've hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, like I often regret that I didn't go to a school that was like more outdoorsy, or like going somewhere, you know, out west, and like there weren't a lot of like outdoorsy people at Beloit, and like, and are those kind of options of like, oh, there's trail running, and there's like, yeah, all this, you know, there's a wilderness area right here, and like I miss that. But like, yeah, with I think you totally nailed it with like when there's little to do, like, and you know, you're going to college like September to May, that's like the winter. Yep. You know, in the Midwest. And yeah, you just like find stuff to do. You like find, you know, the little tiny things that like wouldn't otherwise be seen. And like, yeah, I feel like I got into that, like riding my bike was, I would just like, you know, be like, I want some time by myself. You know, I'm sick of being in this community that where I know everyone and I want to just like go run off at times. And I would just like ride my bike off into the countryside and just go see what I could find. Yeah. And it's like, there's not many people like going there to travel to in this area, but you know, I kind of like that kind of traveling where going places where people wouldn't normally go to, and you just go see what you can find.
Yeah. So the type of riding that you're doing in Beloit, was that just on the road on a hybrid bike? Like what was the setup back then? Like how did you kind of get this start into cycling?
whatever bike I could get my hands on. It's like, you know, borrowed ones from friends, you know, I like bought some bikes off Craigslist. Yeah. Road bikes, old, not great bikes. Yeah. Road riding. For sure. Yeah. And then just ride around, nothing big. Like probably the most I did was like 30 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. But kind of like found that love for like exploring the world on a bike. Yeah.
Nice. And then going to Beloit College, did you know that you kind of wanted to work in conservation, or was that something you kind of found in college after college? Like what did that sort of like academic pursuit look like?
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to do something. I was interested in environmental issues and, interested in science, interested in like working outside. And so I kind of found the geology department because they're just, Beloit College has a really awesome geology department and like just really good professors, lots of support, like lots of resources. And I got to do field trips. And so that was kind of it for me. I was like, all right, science outside, you know, looking at maps and going on field trips and looking at things, you know, in place as opposed to like reading a textbook. And so got a geology degree and then like was looking for things to do after school and heard about like the Student Conservation Association, SCA, and you know, some other like national conservation corps. And did an internship on the Tonto National Forest working outside of Mesa, Arizona.
Nice.
So that was my first time going to Arizona other than driving through a few years ago. But first real time in Arizona was, doing an internship and where I was a wilderness intern. And yeah, spent a winter on the Tonto National Forest and really loved the area. And that's kind of how I got my start here. And then I was like, I bopped around for, take this as far as you want. But yeah,
What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2018.
2018.
And,
okay.
Yeah. Then I came here in winter of 2018, 2019.
Okay. So you got to Arizona pretty quickly in terms of, okay.
Yeah. That was like the first, I was like looking for anything that would like, you know, any internship that would get me somewhere like on a national forest, national parks out West. And that was like the first one I found that accepted me. I was like, all right, we're going to Arizona.
Nice. Okay. So when did bikepacking kind of come into the picture? Because you said, you know, longest ride you were doing in Beloit was 30 miles. Was that something that you kind of were interested in before, and then you got out West and you started pursuing it? How did that come into the picture?
Yeah. So I actually like didn't bike at all when I was in Arizona that first time. I did a ton of hiking. Yeah. I was like throughout that whole winter, I was probably averaging hiking like 8 miles a day.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. So it was awesome. Like I was paid to hike and it was wonderful. I was just hiking around wilderness areas. And it was really, really fun. And then I went to the Vermont Youth Conservation Corps, and worked on a farm because I had been interested in doing farming and had done a little, work for the urban garden, in college at Beloit. And, so I went there and did another good old AmeriCorps, position. Yeah. On their farm, they have like a working farm that produces food for like low-income people all around the state, and they deliver it to like various hospitals. And so yeah, I was just like a farmhand, just like doing, you know, wherever labor. Just kind of just my like excuse to be in Vermont and like get housing and do some cool work. And that's where I really got into bike packing a bit and like more like cycling as like a sport as opposed to just like, you know, bopping around here and there. Yeah, because I met someone there who's into bike packing. Yeah, my friend Al. And yeah, found a bike that was in a this like old barn. It's like someone had left a this like 80s racing bike, you know, just been left there for like a year. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna take this, fix it up and ride it around. Got to learn a lot about how to fix bikes by doing that. And yeah, I decided to wanted to like work up to doing a century ride. And so at the end of the summer, I did a ride with my friend, other friend there, Kendall, and we did a 100-mile ride through the Champlain Islands in Lake Champlain. And that was really awesome. And I was like, all right, I want to do this. I'm into this. I'm into like crushing myself over long distances on a bike.
So you're in Vermont. Was the next stop after that back to Arizona, Patagonia, Tucson area, or multiple other places?
Yeah, multiple other places. The road keeps winding around. Yeah, I then next was like missing a lot of my friends from college, and so I wanted to be back, you know, around the Midwest. And my friend who lives like just outside of Chicago, McHenry, Illinois, my friend Greta, she had a open room in her house. And, you know, could really keep rent there and live like right outside the city, but in this like beautiful little town with a bunch of state parks around it. And I was like, all right, that's perfect. I'll go there, move there. And yeah, I was there for the winter of 2019 into 2020, got a job for a land surveying company. And so it was the guy you see at the side of the road with a little instrument pointing a laser at things. That was me.
Nice.
And that was terrible and worked for a really oppressive company that like... Talking about like, you know, people who don't care about the well-being of their employees. This was that company. So I was there through the winter, didn't bike very much, did some biking, had that same bike from Vermont. But then, yeah, I was saving up to do the Pacific Crest Trail that summer of 2020 because I had hiked the most of the Long Trail, which is a great long-distance trail in Vermont, the first long-distance trail in the U.S.
Yep.
And yeah, so I was like, all right, I want to do through hiking. Because I wasn't like, yeah, like hadn't yet bike packed at that point, and I was like, still kind of like a backpacker, but like, okay, bike packing, I've heard about that. That sounds awesome. Maybe it'll be on my radar sometime in the future. Yeah. And then we all know what happens next. COVID happens. And then I could not do the Pacific Crest Trail or, you know, didn't feel comfortable doing it. And then I moved back in with my parents in Seattle, like thinking maybe I'm going to do the Pacific Crest Trail. Let's hang out there, you know, near the start of it. Cause I was going to do it southbound. And like, see what happens, see where this goes. And then, you know, it became clear, like, okay, this is not getting any better. I'm not going to do the Pacific Crest Trail this year. I've got all this money saved up from this job that paid me well, even though it sucked. And I'm going to buy a bike. I've always wanted to buy like a nice bike. And so, yeah, I'd like heard that gravel bikes were a thing. And I was like, all right, I want a bike that can take me anywhere. And so, yeah, someone's like, have you heard of a Warbird? What's a Warbird? All right, this thing feels great. I'm gonna buy this. And so I bought a new sky blue. It's also Warbird, and promptly crossed out the W and the R in the name Warbird and called it a bird. Its name became Alistair Bird, and
nice.
So yeah, and that's at the time I was kind of getting into rock climbing, but I was really also loving my bike and like trying to, you know, get into bike packing. And I did some little, you know, first time bike packing, taking dry bags and bungee cording them onto your bike kind of thing. And like did a ride of rode from Portland to Seattle over 2 days, like back to back century rides, and was like, this is amazing. I love this. Yeah. And then, eventually it came back to Arizona because the person I worked for year like recommended this other job to me with the people I work for now, Wild Arizona. And so I was like, all right, I'm not doing anything. I'm looking to not live in my parents' basement too much longer. And
I get that one.
Yeah, and I was like, I had heard about living in cars and like kind of, you know, I'd done some like road trips by myself, and I was like, what if I just, you know, I'm like it's this 8-6 hitch schedule. I'm only off for 6 days out of 2 weeks, so it's a, you know, like, why rent an apartment for that? I may as well just live out of my car and I'll just like go climbing and go biking. Yeah. So then moved down here and was like working all over the state. And yeah, I did It's actually part of my job that's really fun is something called trail assessment, where you like go to a wilderness area, like walk down a trail and just like report on what the conditions of it are. So like, oh, I'll take a GPS point here, like needs repair of the tread, or like, oh, here the corridor is like narrow and needs to be brushed. And yeah, so pretty much get paid to hike along a trail and like report on the status of it. So that's really fun. And yeah, for some of that, I was like by myself and I was like, oh, I have to go hike on this trail, then I have to go over here and hike on this trail. So I'm gonna like go between the two by bike packing between them.
Nice.
So just like, yeah, little tiny, like when it was, made sense bike packing trips. Nothing really at this point of like, I'm gonna go on a bike packing trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've like slowly built up some bags, and then I found this Cross Arizona gravel route on the website by Craig and Minnie Switel, the Arizona Gravel Rides website, which is a really awesome resource. And yeah, that's the guy who organizes the Ride Across Arizona. So I found this Ride Across Arizona route bikepacking race I just did, and like was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. And so I had some time off in March and April of 2021, and yeah, I went off on this trip by myself, and that was like the first like, I'm going bikepacking, I'm gonna go on a bikepacking trip, I've got bikepacking bags kind of thing. Yeah, and like did it, took a long time, it was going like 50 miles a day or something, just touring around, yeah, even made it a little longer than it would have been. Yeah, so that was like 730 miles, and yeah, kind of always want to do more. And kind of at this point, I don't know, I'd always like everyone I was riding with, I always wanted to ride faster and go farther. And so I was like, huh, maybe I should like really engage with that part of myself that are like really wants to just ride more and like, is always itching to get going. And like, I'm that annoying person waking up early and being like looking at my watch while they're like drinking coffee.
Got it. I
Yeah.
can relate a little bit. That was honestly kind of my next question, which was with Ride Across Arizona. Like, were you looking to do a race? Was that something that had always been on your mind? Or was it more of 2021, you tore the course, 2022, you're like, heck, well, I've toured the course and I really enjoyed it. Let's try to do it fast. Like, what was that sort of dynamic heading into? And it is just Ride Across Arizona, right? It's not Race Across Arizona, just Ride Across
Yeah, I
Arizona.
think it's called Ride Across Arizona, but I think the like within that there like the track leaders page was called Race Across Arizona, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, ride, race, it's whatever you want to do, I think is kind of how Craig wants to make it.
Got it. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, like I had done exactly what you said. I'd done it as a tour, like most of the route I've done as a tour, like an approximation of it. And then I was like, huh, they're doing it again next year. Like they're doing this organized thing, like yeah, I'm gonna try and just go flat out. I've done the whole thing. I've seen the country and like, all right, now I'm gonna not stop and say hi to that person. And like, now I'm gonna not cook any food and then just like go and just like see what happens. And yeah, I'm trying to think of when I had like initially heard of like backpack racing. I think it was, yeah, just like hearing about like Will Wilcox in like 2019, knowing like, okay, that's a thing. I've been trying to think about when I kind of found out about bikepack racing as a thing and got more into it. And I think it just kind of naturally came with me starting that, like signing up for the Ride Across Arizona. And then just kind of, I don't know, at the time when also it's getting more popular. And yeah, I think it's like found YouTube videos and podcasts. Yeah, and just like found lots of inspiration from like, Sofyan Sahili and, all the big name people, Lachlan Morton. So yeah, and then I signed up for the Chino Grinder, which is the same person organized a Craig Sotel, his 100 mile, just gravel race. And I did that in September and I was like, all right, this, I absolutely killed myself. I didn't do very well, but like, I want to do more racing.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So heading into Ride Across Arizona, this is a conversation that I feel like it kind of comes up over and over again, especially with like me and Andrew. Andrew right now just started a manual labor job where he's like working for a moving company, right? So he has
Right.
been a little bit frustrated with like the lack of time he has to ride, right? That lack of energy where he has to be like more purposeful with actually getting training in. And one of the things that he did is he was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for north to south Colorado in July, so I have something to target. So heading into ride Race Across Arizona, did you like ramp up training, or was it more like, okay, I'm doing this conservation work, I'm hiking a bunch, I'm riding during those 6 days when I can? Was it like a focused training effort to get ready, or were you like, my whole lifestyle is built around me being a dirtbag and riding on my bike forever?
Yeah, kind of both.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, it felt really natural, very natural, but like, I think, I don't know, what is it? At some point, like late last year, I think doing the, you know, I was really into climbing for a while, and I felt like that kind of reached its peak. And like August of last year, I tried to do the Grand Traverse and the Grand Tetons, try to do that in a day. So it's like this massive, massive day of, you know, going up and down like 7 different peaks and like, you know, 30 miles of hiking in between that, and didn't end up completing it. But like, I don't know, I was like, okay, that was, I don't know, I feel like it scratched that itch a bit for climbing. And I don't know, I was like, I'm causing myself to do a lot of free soloing that's like not very safe. And I like, I don't know, how much can I push myself in this? You know, so kind of like the same story of what Andrew Onderma did, talked about, you know, like being, pushing himself via climbing and being like, oh, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I did it with this guy who is an ultra endurance runner. He was an ultra runner. And yeah, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to do Sufferfests via biking. So it's kind of like first really major, like test, you know, big Sufferfests, like, trained for a thing was doing the Grand Traverse last August, and like I trained for that all through the summer. And yeah, then I was like, okay, I'm gonna put this into biking now. And so I did, you know, that race, the Chino Grinder, yep, last September. And yeah, I think I'd already signed up for the race across Arizona, and I was like, hey, I'm signed up for this, like I'm gonna go, yeah, like devote myself to this thing. And I'm gonna try and do it as best I can. And so, yeah, I kind of like my whole life, I feel like I'm constantly like have this itch in me that's like, go train harder, go, you know, test your body and just like become stronger. And it felt like, okay, now I'm putting that towards something, you know, like I'm gonna focus that energy onto an actual activity and not just like be randomly just like training for nothing. I don't know, which like makes sense, you know, it's like stay healthy, but like, at the same time, it just kind of felt like a little bit, I don't know, empty, maybe not the right word. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to put my training towards something. I don't know. Maybe I'd already done that before with the Grand Traverse. But anyways.
I think it's one of the things that I think is so great about, like, for me personally and racing, is the fact that there is like this almost like deadline, right? Like there is this thing on the calendar where, you know, for the past 2 years in the back of my mind, I've had the Tour Divide like there, right? It's almost like it's this added motivation of this is set in stone, right? Where,
yeah,
with other endeavors, and once again, I love like kind of create your own adventure stuff, but at the same time, there also is like this sort of like leeway where it's like, okay, maybe the weather's not great this month for the Grand Traverse, and I'm going to push it off a month. Where when you have this sort of like deadline, it like creates this urgency that informs the rest of your life, where it's like, okay, I need to be in shape on June 10th, right? Like there is no like, I'm going to delay this a month, because it's like, no, that's when the grand depart is. It's June 10th. So sorry, yeah, about that tangent.
No, totally.
I interrupted you there.
I've certainly been taking plenty of tangents.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And that, yeah, I love that. I was like, I'm training for this specific thing, and I'm just going to like order my life around that. And like, I feel like I did that for the last 6 months of just like everything I'm thinking about is about trying to be good at the ride across Arizona. And like, I really love that. Like, it's just such a great way of structuring your life. Yeah. Putting it all towards one thing that like is really important to you, like in constantly thinking about that, having that in the back of your mind of like a purpose is like, I feel like very healthy.
Yeah. Are you, do you consider yourself a competitive person?
Yeah, like very personally competitive. Like I like competing against myself. Yeah, I think I'm competitive, I don't know, with other people at times. Yeah, mostly, you know, with physical things. Like I like, yeah, you know, endurance fests.
Yep. Sort of like doing the best that you personally can do. So for Ride Across Arizona, like, what was your mindset heading into this first race? Were you like, I'm trying to win this thing? Or was it more of, I'm trying to do the best I possibly can? Did you have any time expectations for yourself? What did that kind of look like?
Yeah, so I wanted to do it in 3 days. I was like, I can do 200 miles a day for 3 days straight. And like, you know, knowing about where the climbing is at and like knowing what rides I've done in the past, I think I can nail that, and we'll see, you know, what happens. And at first going into it, I was like, am I going to be the only person like younger than 50 in this ride? Cause like last year, you know, it was like three people like retirement age, you know, and that guy, oh man, I'm going to forget his name, but the guy who set the record for it last year, he did it in 6 days. He's like 70 years old, and like, it's amazing.
That's Harry Johnson.
Harry Johnson. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Hope I can be at that level at that age. But yeah. I was like, not knowing, like, is anyone else like young, really excited people kind of in my shoes going to be coming into this? Like, I don't know. And then I saw that, you know, Lauren Brownlee and J. Peter Berry were going to be doing the race. And I was like, all right, the top two finishers, the Tour Divide last year, and, you know, legend J. Peter Berry are going to be there. Like, it's on.
Game on. And, yep, exactly.
Yeah, I'd never. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I am so excited. Like, there's going to be like competition. And, you know, like that kind of competition. I mean, not to like, yeah, but, you know, just like more
people with the same mindset as you, right? Like, that's that's a concern when I go to bikepacking races and events too, is I'm like, I'm here to ride really hard and really fast. And I want there to be other people that want to do that exact same thing. Like, I love that everyone is out there doing their own thing and looking for their own experience. But it is a lot more fun when it's like, oh, damn, we're racing. Like, there are people who are going to push me, and I'm going to push them.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that energy, you know, when it's in, like, a positive way. You know, it's just, it's different when it's like, okay, you know, I've been racing my whole life, and I'm, like, you know, doing this as, like, an awesome, fun thing. I'm still going to, like, push myself, but it's not like I'm out here to, like, prove something, and, you know, I don't know fully what I'm capable of. And like kind of that kind of energy. And like, I'm going to go destroy myself.
Nice.
And like, give it, put it all out there. Yeah. And so I was really excited to see, yeah, also like Simone Bailey. And I was like slowly learning about it. And I was like going into bike shops and like telling people about this. And someone's like, oh, I know this person's going to be doing the ride across Arizona. I'm like slowly like, okay, like people are doing this. It's not just going to be like five people out there. Yeah. And that's something I was really looking forward to going into it. It was just like meeting other people into bike pack racing, because, you know, I had never met anyone else like kind of with the same attitude. I was always just like some guy creeping on the internet, like, you know, listening to podcasts and like watching videos. And like, I was like, all right, I can actually like meet people really into this, which I'd, you know, done a bit of going to that race, the Tino Grinder last year, but, you know, it's just like a different scene than like bikepacking people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, you know, I'm a dirtbag, like, you know, other just like, I don't know,
it's like, that's really how you join the bikepacking community, is like doing these events, right? Because I really feel like there's a lot of people, and I felt this way the first time I showed up to Arkansas High Country races. I'm like, I don't, like, I'm super into bikepacking, but at the same time, I've never really like done it. So I'm like, am I actually part of this community? And it's like, once you start doing those events and knowing people at the start line, and you really just like very quickly like become part of the community, which I think is one of the coolest parts of the bikepacking community, is it's just like very welcoming, and it's just like, oh cool, you're crazy too, you live out of a vehicle and are obsessed with riding your bike as well, welcome.
Totally, 100%. Yeah, that's like, I was just so stoked to like meet people who also had that same attitude. Yeah, and I felt that way coming into it. Yeah, precisely. And then I was so stoked when like I came to, so like, I know I'd been talking a little bit with Lauren and Simone.
Talking
and
a little trash to Lauren, I hear.
No, we were laughing. I didn't even realize that I was.
Okay. And that's kind of what I thought. We were laughing about it the other night because she showed me the message that you sent her about like, oh, if you want to win this, I'm going to like try to push you. But then immediately went into, it's like, so how are you getting to the start? Like, what are the logistics of this? Which I kind of loved. I was like, oh yeah, like, I love a little trash talking. I'm a fan.
Yeah. I was like kind of taking a leap. I was like, I'm going to assume that like someone who has this competitive spirit is going to like kind of enjoy, I don't know, that kind of like prodding. Yeah. I was like, yeah. You know, cause I was like, saw that she was doing, I was like, oh damn, if I can just like get someone who's that good to like, you know, you know, kind of like have to push themselves, you know, then like I'm gonna be really happy. And yeah, so that was kind of like my way of like kind of talking to her about getting a ride, to be like, hey, I don't know, I'm also really into this.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was like talking with her and this other guy, Brian Charette, yep. Who's like a, yeah, longtime bike packer. And, you know, trying to coordinate some rides and like maybe housing, at the start. And, you know, at the last minute asked Brian if I could share a room with him, 'cause he had like an extra spot, a motel at the beginning of the race. And he's like, yeah, for sure, let's go. And, I don't know, just like, yeah, we talked about like people immediately being open to like accepting someone into that community. And like, I totally felt that from those three. And it was like, we're very open to just like, okay, you're into this, like, come hang out. You're part of this too. And yeah, so I, you know, shared a motel room with this guy, Brian. He was awesome. Simone's awesome. Lauren's awesome. And yeah, and also briefly met this woman, Jenny, who's like done the Iditarod Trail, and she's doing it with her husband. And like, yeah, longtime bike packer. And yeah, I was like, you know, I came into the hotel or the motel, and my pedal cell, my charging device on my bike, I'd like kind of bent the spring on it a little bit. And so I had to like futz with it when I got to the motel immediately. And so like I walk into the door and I'm like, hey, Brian, you're like, we'll shake hands. Nice to meet you. And then like immediately he had just had, he'd put a new chain ring on his bike, and he had like broken one of the bolts. And so he'd like found a bolt at a hardware store and was like trying to put that on. So it's like immediately like we're both just like futzing with our bikes and just like going, I don't know. It's like that moment where all this stuff that's like been going around in my head, and I've like had not too many other people like relate to in terms of this, like, I don't know, bikepacking on that level. And just like immediately we're like connecting on it, and just like, yeah, it was just, you know, like I'd known him for my whole life. Yeah. And that was really, really awesome.
Let's jump into the race. You guys start, well, you take a very exciting U-Haul voyage to the U-Haul place where, again, Lauren was telling me all about this, where you were the one that volunteered to jump in the back with the bikes. How was that, you know, U-Haul journey? She said you took it gracefully, but it might have been a little bit rougher than you expected.
It was really fun, and I'm really glad I did it.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah, I was in the back of the U-Haul because there were only three seats up front. So Brian and Simone and Lauren had the front seat, and I was like, all right, I'll be in the back. And yeah, it was like all dark, and I'm just like sitting there, like holding on to something, like trying to not fall over. And yeah, this is like at 5 a.m. the morning of the race, and I'm like, you know, nerves going through me, and I'm like so excited and like so nervous. And I don't know, it was like this little moment to just like be in my own world and just like be in this dark space. And I was just like singing.
Nice.
Yeah, and like a little 10-minute drive down to the start line. And yeah, it was, I don't know, I felt like the perfect little, like, I don't know, like the person before a sports game, like putting on their headphones and like in the locker room, like, let's go. Like that was me, like in the back of the U-Haul.
Nice. So you guys start at the Colorado River. You start like north of Lake Havasu City. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere where you start, right? It's Top Rock, Arizona, which doesn't Topoc. Look like, say again?
Topoc,
not Top Rock. Topoc, yep. Start at 400 feet and then just start climbing like from the start. So what did the start of the race look like? Were you like, okay, I'm going to push the pace immediately, or am I going to feel it out a little bit? See what Lauren does, see what Jay does, see what Chris does, see what everyone else is doing? Or were you like, no, I'm riding my own pace. See you later.
Yeah, I was definitely. So yeah, this ride starts in the middle of nowhere. Goes west east across Arizona, and yeah, it's starts really low and you're in the desert for a while. You actually start off on I-40, and so you're just on the side of the freeway, which is not amazing, but fortunately it's the only, you know, real highway driving during it, or highway riding. Yeah, I was at the beginning kind of just going at my own pace and just trying to be, you know, as comfortable as I could be and just like ignore what everyone else is doing. Yeah, that's kind of how I took it the entire time. Yeah, at first Brian like ran ahead in the beginning. It was just like, he told me before, he's like, I'm gonna sprint for like the first, like, you know, 10 miles, and which I thought was awesome. And so yeah, he's just like speeding off, and then it's like, yeah, it was me and JP and his partner, who's, what's his name, Chris Schmidt, yep, and another guy, Jason, who's training for the Tour Divide. Yeah, and we were like together for like the first 30 miles, and we get into the desert and we're slowly climbing up, and then we're kind of like bouncing back and forth. It was like a lot of sand in the beginning, and like I'm falling into the sand because I'm on skinny tires, and then I'm like fixing this thing, and then so it was like a lot of like bouncing back and forth, even though I think my pace was faster than other people. And then yeah, for like 30 miles I'm like thinking about, all right, what am I gonna say next when like KP and Chris and Jason passed me this time. And then I like just kept waiting for that to happen, and it never happens. Yeah, I was like really unexpected. I was like, what is going wrong? Why I'm in the front? Like, I must be like really overworking myself, and I'm gonna like crash. But yeah, so 3 miles in, didn't see anyone else for the rest of the ride except for like waving at JP and Chris when they got into the first resupply after 100 miles in Bagdad, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, and then yeah, so I don't know, it's like it's weird because you're just lonely like the whole time. You're not seeing anyone else, and you're just like connecting with people on Instagram. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. At the end, I was kind of like, man, I miss like people, and I was like really stoked to see people at the end of the race. Or like,
Yeah, so
see like, the bikepacking community that I'd like been so interested in meeting people.
yeah, that's one of the strange things about bikepack racing is you like are hanging out with people at the start, and then if you're lucky, depending on finish times and the style of the race and how the finish line is set up, you might hang out with people at the end. But for so much of the race, it's you're not seeing a whole lot of people, or if you are seeing people, there's a lot less interaction, right? It's everyone is so bonked that it's like, hey, how's it going? Good. How are you doing? Fine. And then you just carry on. Like there's not that energy to like actually like have conversations. So any crazy happenings on the course, any crazy stories, anything to report from the course? Lauren had a few crazy stories. Was it smooth sailing for you? First bikepacking race? Anything that was kind of unexpected?
Yeah, it went like very smoothly for me. I think that was, I put a lot of preparation into it, and like I knew the course very well, and like I think that gave me a bit of a leg up. Like just know I like been through a lot of it. I knew the country really well, and yeah, so like things went very smoothly. Obviously like I won, so like I'm pretty happy with how everything went. I had like no mechanicals. I didn't fill up my tires at all. I had my charging source for my bike break the pedal cell, and I think it's because I like put weight on it when it was sitting in the car driving to the start of the race, but still figure that out. But yeah, so I was just going off of the 20,000 milliampere hour battery that I had for the entire
Okay.
race, and I didn't run out until the absolute end when my phone died. Other than that, like things went pretty well. Like the worst part of it was being very cold at times. Like Arizona is either very cold or very hot. It just gets, the temperature difference during throughout the day is insane. Like first day is getting up to 97 degrees, and I'm like completely overheating, and like just get me out of the desert. First 100 miles in the desert, and then you go up high and you don't come back down for the rest of the race. You're like up above, 5,000 to 6,000 feet. The coldest night, it like got below freezing, and it's actually probably the worst part of the race was a paved, like massive paved descent south of Flagstaff, where I was like 3 in the morning, and I was just like bitter cold, just like really unhappy, and just like on a paved descent where it should be like the nicest part of it, but I'm just like freezing, so excited to like looking forward to this massive climb that's coming up because I'm gonna warm up
This was on, I'm guessing, on Lake Mary Road, like heading towards the rim.
on Lake Mary Road.
Yep. I
yeah
know
yeah
that
yeah coming
descent.
towards
See,
the
I love
rim.
that descent. That descent
yeah
is,
yeah
I've done it a few times where I've like ridden the started way down by Mogollon Rim and then like taken the AZT up. And then you like take that descent down and it's just like 15 miles maybe of, it's not like steep, it's not technical, it's just like bombing it, which is great when it's at the end of the ride and you're just like trying to get home. But I can imagine at 3 a.m. when you're freezing, not a good time. Not a good time.
Yeah, and so yeah, that was probably the worst part of it. Yeah, and I feel like I could have pushed myself more, and like and I look forward to more of the opportunity to do that. Like at the end, I was like, okay, do I like try and not sleep this last night, not sleep for a third night, and like try and finish the ride in what was my goal of under 72 hours, under 3 days? Or, do I not risk like freezing my ass off. And yeah, I decided like, okay, I'm gonna sleep for a bit. Yeah, I was trying to buy gloves in the town of Sholo, but no place has gloves in Arizona after like the beginning of spring, which is really silly because it gets down below freezing at night.
So with the end of this race and for you being by yourself for so long, how was that mentally? Like, were you able to stay on it and stay motivated? Were you like looking behind you and being like, Chris and Jay might be, you know, you had a pretty substantial lead on them. So like, how did that work mentally? Just like being out there by yourself in the lead for so long, because I know for me, sometimes that's like super motivating where it's like, okay, let's see how big of a gap I can get. But then there's other times where it's like, I would really like to have a little bit more pressure where I'm like getting pushed a little bit more.
Yeah, I failed both of those things. Like every time I go to town, I'd look at track leaders and be like, oh my God, I'm like another 5 miles ahead or something. I was like really jazzed about that. But at the same time, I was like, maybe I like, you know, hang out at this Circle K gas station for a little bit longer. And they like, maybe makes it a little bit more competitive or kind of like, yeah. Cause you know, I like having like, looking over my shoulder and like thinking, you know, all right, Chris and Jay are going to show up any minute now. And like, you know, I was thinking that for a while until it got towards the end. And I'm like, man, I'm like 80 miles ahead. Like I'm probably, you know, would take a lot, you know, I'd have to like have a, you know, breakdown or something in order to not finish first. Yeah. And so at that point, I don't know, I tried to like keep myself have like with that competitive edge by just like thinking about like, what was my goal going into it? Try to finish in 3 days, where I was like, okay, as long as I do not break down, I'm probably going to win. And how can I possibly finish under 72 hours? And I didn't. I finished, you know, like 3 days, 9 hours or something. But yeah, that's kind of how I stay with it. You know, it was like, that was my goal going into this. You know, regardless of what everyone else does, I've got my goal. I'm going to try and do that.
Nice. So you end up finishing in 3 days, 8 hours, and 57 minutes. Is there part of you that's like, I'm going back, I'm trying to get under 3 days? Are you done with the Ride Across Arizona course? You've done it twice now. Are you looking forward to 2023? What's your relationship with the race, with the course, now that you've done it and that you've won?
I really love the ride, and the organizers are awesome people. You know, you go through a lot of different parts of Arizona. You get to see like the whole state change from like the Mojave Desert, like way up to like 9,000 feet, like in around Alpine and Sholo. Yeah, I feel like I now have an obligation to defend the title.
Nice.
Love it. I want to go back to do it again. I don't know, for that to you know, I'd love to see someone go and do an individual time trial and like smash my time and do it in like 2.5 days. That would be awesome. But I think I can do better, and yeah, want to try and do that. You know, and there's not a ton of like purely gravel bikepacking races around where I am, and like I'm trying to do stuff close to home and trying to avoid too much of like driving 20 hours to go and ride my bike. Like for me personally, I feel like that like to some degree kind of defeats the purpose for me, because like I like to think of a bike as a way of avoiding using a car. Yep. And what can I do with my Warbird is also a thing I'm always thinking about. You know, like I can put maximum of 45 millimeter tires on it, and like, so like, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, in great shape for doing like something like Pinions and Pines, even though I'd really love to do that race. So yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to get a different bike, get like a steel framed hardtail, something that can let me like travel to remote places, you know, around the world, and also like do those kind of races. But yeah, finding like races to do with my gravel bike, and like this is totally one of them where it's like well suited for it. Yeah, so for all those reasons, yeah, I want to do it again. I want to, yeah, I don't want this, you know, to become a race. I think it's an awesome route, and you know, I think more people should do it.
Nice. So I think you hinted at it a little bit. Do you have other sorts of goals? Like, is the divide on your radar? I know right now, just like with the limitations of the Warbird, like, are there other stuff this year that you're looking forward to, or is it kind of just like see what happens in the future?
Yeah. So I'm signed up for the Montana Bike Odyssey in September.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's I think it's only been done one or two times before. Kind of really similar to Ride Across Arizona. You know, it's like been like a few people completing it for the last couple of years, but like opportunity to be a like larger event. And again, yeah, like something, this is like half paved, half gravel, a little bit of single track, that I think the Warbird will be well suited for. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing that in September. Hopefully by then, my toes will not be sore anymore, or not be be numb anymore.
Was that kind of your only side effect from right across Arizona? Just some toes, any hand stuff? Like, how are you feeling physically after doing it?
Oh yeah. So I felt pretty good during it. You know, I'm like, there's a lot of like, oh man, that's quite a massive blister on my foot that I would normally tend to, but I'm going to be done in a day, kind of thing. Like I felt pretty rough after this, and this is definitely the largest like physical challenge I've ever put myself through. But like, I'm feeling itching to go. Like I feel numbness in my toes. My hands don't feel as good on, you know, sitting on the bars. But like, other than that, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I've been sick. I've had like some lingering kind of like weird nausea, I think from like the classic issues of trying to eat enough food on the bike, through these events. But yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling good now. We'll see how I feel in several months. But yeah, I'm doing that in September, and then I'd like to do more later on. I mean, the Tour Divide looks awesome. I'd love to do the Tour Divide. Maybe next year, we'll see. I want to do that thing in September. You know, I'm looking to do more of like just finding my little events by myself that are like, you know, I'm trying to design some things where like, oh, okay, I'm going to start working in the Chiricahua Mountains next, and like, can I bike there from my house, and like that sort of thing. Nice. Of like making up my own little adventures. But like, yeah, still, you know, I love like going to these events and like meeting awesome people and like getting to really test yourself against other people. Like I really love that. So yeah, we'll see what comes up. I want to travel outside the country. I want to do like, I'd love to do like a race outside the US. I think that would be so much fun. What a, you know, awesome way to see a country. Yeah, I've really got nothing else specifically on my radar.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. What's the name of the, it's the Monumental Loop, but the Danger Bird. I'm not sure if they're running it this year, but that might be a good one over in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So not too far away from you. It might be a little bit challenging on the narrower tire, but at the same time, like, you know, underbiking's fun. It's a good time. You know, even Pinions and Pines last year, I did it on a rigid 47C, and it was like a long stretch of the AZT. It beat the hell out of me, but you know, it's always doable, right? And that's the thing, is sometimes you just gotta run what you have, right? There's, everyone has limitations when it comes to bikes. So very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm the underbiking. I definitely have done plenty of that. And like, I'm often like, if I buy myself a, or if I try riding a full suspension bike, I will not be able to ride my gravel bike on terrible roads anymore. Cause I like, we'll find out how much better it can be. But like, yeah, you know, I love just going out and riding over whatever terrain, and it's like, you can get through it. It's like, just how much pain you're willing to subject yourself to at that time. But, yeah, I'm curious how that bike you had for the Pinions and Pines was.
I don't think I'm ever going to do Pinions and Pines on a gravel bike again. I just don't think it's faster. Like, that's the thing. For me, is I was like, oh, this is a faster bike. But even on like the road sections and the kind of smooth gravel sections there are, it just doesn't add up, right? And like right now I have a like Junkyard Steel single speed, and I don't think I would want to do it on single speed. You know, good for the Strumkeys. Yeah. They're badasses. I don't think that would be a great time for me. But yeah, like hopefully next year I will have a hardtail to do it on, just because it's just so brutal. Like you just beat your body up. And this is something that me and Lauren were talking about too, where she was like, yeah, I could ride everything, but there's a lot of it that just becomes unfun if you're underbiking that much for that long.
Yeah.
And Dana, the race organizer, he does a fantastic job with the course. But he picks some fucked up roads. Like he picks some stuff that's like pretty gnarly on purpose. I'm not sure if you've ever been on Mingus Mountain, but the climb like up Mingus Mountain is brutal. And there's like a super smooth, fun way to go down Mingus Mountain. But then this year we took the single track way, which was, there's some stories.
Yeah, I can only do so much. Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see what that world is like of being able to do more of those rougher roads more easily.
And also, like, and where you're at, you've got the AZT right there, right? Like, that has to be a draw for you. Like, that's another historic bikepacking route that is in your backyard.
Yes, I would really love to do that route. Yeah, I just need to get a different bike. So, yeah, when that happens, got to start saving up for that. Yeah, I would really love to do the Arizona Trail. I mean, it just looks gorgeous. And again, you know, it's like I've gone Arizona west to east, now to do it south to north. And yeah, you know, historic race that, I really love to like be a part of that and, you know, do another grand apart and this time try it on like single track.
Nice. That's kind of all the questions I've got. Is there anything else that you want to touch on? Anything that we didn't touch on that you want to hit?
Yeah, nothing much. Just, mostly really grateful for the people I, you know, interacted with, during this, this ride across Arizona, and for you for having me on this. Like, I've never done a podcast interview before. Very good fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This has been episode 10 of the Bikepack Racing Podcast. Thanks for listening.